Hour number two, chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Monday. Big Joe Dubin, Chase McCabe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier, going till noon today. And then Willie Donick and Jill Jelnick will have you noon to 3. And then the Force Company lads will be on this afternoon from 3 to 6. You heard it in the update, a very good update by Dr. Crane. Ryan Blaney wins the inaugural cup race at Iowa last night. Very fun race for sure. Iowa, the Iowa Corn 350, short track, and always enjoy some good short track racing. But Blaney was able to get his first win of the year. Hello, JoJo.
All right, I'm good. Somebody sent me a Bleacher Report thing that saying the WNBA is losing millions and millions. I'm not reading some Bleacher Report story anyway. We're talking about it. We ever talked about the WNBA before? Have we ever?
No.
No. I mean, look, what I have seen happen over, you know, over the course of the last few years is there's a lot of sports that mainstream sports media wasn't talking about that they're talking about now. You know, WNBA, wrestling. I mean, and people, you're going to have the, you know, the old curmudgeon. There's going to be like, I don't like it. I don't. And I'm never going to like it. Okay, fine. Don't. That's fine.
Right.
But it's becoming like when WWE's on ESPN, that tells me something. You know why? Because it's a billion-dollar industry.
Yeah. It's you great. Know, it's perfect right now, too. It's summertime. Not a lot's going on. It's perfect.
NASCAR is another one. It was a fun race last night. And there's a one that's probably going to be sold out in our city or outside our city, you know, in Gladeville here in a couple weeks, the Ally 400.
Yeah.
I mean.
It's perfect. I mean, that's the whole point of all this. I mean, it's just get eyeballs on it, people watch, people talking about it. As I tell people that own restaurants, you know what the best advertising is for your restaurant besides being on 102.5 The Game? Do you know what the best advertising there is?
What?
Word of mouth.
Yeah.
Your father's restaurant, Paschetti's, right? We talked to people last week. I loved your dad's restaurant.
Yeah.
Word of mouth.
Yep.
Word of mouth. So you get people talking about it, like, oh, I need to check that out, check that out. And you go, by the way, together at CromwellMedia.com. And we will take care of you. Our question today, 30 years ago today, the O.J. Bronco chase. Where were you? What were you doing? What were you was going through your mind at that moment with all that? I mean, 30 years ago today.
Yeah.
It just blows my mind.
It is crazy. It's now, just crazy that it's been that long.
Yes. I mean, people have weighed in about 9/11, the Challenger explosion. Those are all hit us differently. It's like, oh, my God. I mean, this is – you feel awful for the families. You felt awful for the country. The OJ thing, I didn't feel that way. It's like, this circus is just now beginning. Here comes the ringmaster. And that's where we're all glued to that. We all love
Steve
the train
Austin.
Wreck. Is that who it is? Steve Austin?
I mean, he was brought in to be the ringmaster. Then he became Stone Cold. So,
who was the Bionic Man? Wasn't that Steve Austin, too?
It was. But I'm talking about Stone Cold Steve Austin.
That's a different. By the way.
Who loves his cats.
By the way, in the words of Greg Pogue, by the way.
Quite frankly.
Quite frankly.
All right.
They're making a $6 billion man. Did you know this?
Yeah. Inflation.
$6 billion. What are we doing in Hollywood? Stop it. Is Ryan Gosling doing it? Or
I don't know.
Zac Efron? Or I don't see Nick Frazier doing it.
I can act. I'll do it.
You'd be like, that's my boy on the screen.
Yeah, you know.
Sorry. He's going to come here and punch me. I can't wait.
I know. I want to see it, too.
It'll be Italian on Italian crime here in the studio, man. That's all right, though.
Are you Italian?
50%.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Here's how I feel about the $6 billion man.
Okay.
Oh, never mind. The moment's passed.
Technical difficulty. I apologize.
It's all right.
Joe's over here just laughing his head off. You know what, Joe? I will come in there and give you a little.
I was ready for the. You set it up great, man.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
It's fine.
I've let you all down once
Put
again.
It on a damn hotkey.
I'm trying. There's so much back here.
I know. I've done it.
Why are you cursing him when sweet Colin's back there?
That's okay. Sorry, Colin. Sorry, Dr. Crane.
It's okay. Chase, I get it. It's a little toasty in here. Things are getting kind of hot. We get it.
I do have the door open between here and the control room, and it's helping a
little bit. So instead of 97 degrees, it's 96. So it works out perfectly.
At least it's not 98 degrees. They broke up.
They did break up. They had no problem staying together until it got hot, and then they broke up. So this is something.
Robert in Nashville on our text line, 615-737-1025. WNBA missed an opportunity to put Caitlin Clark's face on the car in the race in Iowa. There was an Iowa car.
Really?
Yeah. I think it was Corey LaJoy had the Iowa car. The Hawkeyes.
But did you? I mean, we already know who she is. I mean, so it's not
Yeah, but still. I mean, yeah. You know. So.
Did he win? Who won the race?
Ryan Blaney.
Ryan Blaney. Is that any kin to Dave Blaney?
That's his son.
Ah, nice. Okay.
Well done. I'm glad you know that.
Now we're getting old.
And they had like 80-something relatives there because that's – he's kind of from that area.
How was the crowd last night for that?
It looked like it was sold out.
All right, good.
Yeah.
Because I was watching somebody – I listened to the Vols game on radio on satellite, and cause I was out of town, and somebody said Omaha would be a great city for Major League Baseball. I don't know. I've never been there, but that kind of a mid-major okay. city when there's nothing to do, it'd be
I don't think that's wrong necessarily, but I'm going to take the same stance that you take when the NFL or college football wants to play on Friday night. Leave it alone. Omaha, that's the College World Series. That's what they're known for.
But 2 weeks.
I know, but still, like that 2 weeks is huge for that city. And as long as Major League Baseball agreed that they'd be out of there for 2 weeks, then okay.
Yeah. But, oh, you'd have to be. Yeah.
But, I mean, don't overshadow that is what I'm saying.
No, I agree. I agree. If your Omaha baseball team could be, I don't know. I've never been there. The guy on the radio
is baseball that sport that could work in like a – non-traditional market?
I think so. It's baseball.
So Omaha or, you know, somewhere in Iowa?
Somewhere in Des Moines? I mean, yeah. I mean, they're passionate fans there. And there's nothing around for hundreds of miles.
Yeah.
Somebody mentioned to me about Fargo, North Dakota. It's like every concert that rolls through there, they have a dome. The football is sold out. Basketball is sold out. The hockey, they go crazy for hockey. Concerts roll through there. They sell out concerts. Just you never think about Fargo, North Dakota.
Yeah.
I've never been. I don't know. I'm just telling what people have told me about
I've
that
heard
place.
That, like, Haley from 102.9 The Buzz, you know, is from there.
Oh, okay.
From North Dakota and said the Fargo Dome's awesome. Like, just an awesome venue to see a sporting event, to see a concert, whatever.
I mean, it's got a, you know, I know Salt Lake City's now got a pro team with the hockey. So
well, they had the Jazz, too, so.
God. You're right. So I keep thinking about Salt Lake City and baseball. You're right. The Jazz. And
but now I am curious, like, if hockey works there, you know, does that open the door for, I don't think the NFL, but, you know, maybe baseball.
Absolutely. It's a big hub for Delta over there. I mean, there's a lot of money over there. You never know.
You know what's a scary thought? When it comes to sports, we can talk about this. Like the NFL is a multi-billion dollar industry, right? So is it crazy to think that, you know, at one point they could probably expand to 40 teams and be okay?
No.
I think they could.
The talent level is not there.
Yeah, but the talent level is not necessarily there right now. I mean, 20%, if that, of the players in the NFL are considered really, 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 really good, and then everybody else is, you know, okay.
Are you going – if the Titans go 3-14, 4-13, 3-14 next 3 years, and they're not getting any better, are you going to go to those games? No, there's no – I mean, you have to win. You have
right,
to have
but
talent.
Right, but my point is it's not – it's the industry as a whole. It's not necessarily city to city. It's the industry as a whole. If you're watching on TV, like, you're going to watch on TV, right?
Sure. Yeah, it's easier. I can flip the channel and go to the bathroom and all that other good stuff.
I mean, that's what they're after.
I could run to Ross and get see what they got for sale. Or not. I mean, things like that.
Yeah.
No, I think some of those are just, no, just wishful thinking. Like, I do not think baseball works here for another 10 years at least. Now, your little buddy with the bat, Mike Organ, think in the next 3 to 5 years it's going to work. It's not going to work.
It could work.
It's not. Yes. There's no money. There's no money for this. Hell, they barely got money to build a stadium. Like, where's it going to cost taxpayers nothing? We're going to pay out the wazoo for that new stadium. if you live probably. In Davidson County.
I mean, look, for it to work, you'd have to get somebody that's willing to build the stadium on their own dime. Mm-hmm. The city would have to give up the land, you know, and work a land deal or whatever, and then somebody's going to come in here and build the stadium.
Yeah. Where do you plop a baseball stadium now?
That's a really good question.
Steiner Lift, when the what we're told, all that's decontaminated because of all the metal and ore that's seeped through the ground for 40 and 50 years.
Is that the
years?
Metal plant?
Yeah, right next to it. Yeah.
I mean, that's the ideal spot.
Blow out Top Golf, go down that way, and you know, risk having it being flooded by the Cumberland. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
You want to put it downtown, but I mean, baseball's not going to be here for a while. It's not. There's no money.
Somebody said that about soccer, and then it got here.
How's it going?
How's it going, Dr. Crane? I mean, they get good crowds.
Yeah. That
team's not very good.
0-0 over this past weekend, so I mean, we'll see what
ties should not exist.
Yeah.
In
so
pro sports.
They're struggling right now, but hopefully a new coach on the prominent horizon, I'm hoping.
Is that Callahan?
Yes, I'm hoping so.
Brian Callahan.
Yeah.
Isn't that
That's
the
awesome.
Weirdest? Don't they have a Tyler Boyd?
They have a Tyler Boyd, too.
That is just bizarre.
The Predators have a prospect named Joe Willis.
Who is that?
Their goalie.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's got a mustache.
Yeah. It's kind of funny. 615-737-1025. We'll continue the discussion. Coming up next, Chasing Big Joe on this Monday, 1025-1063, the game. Chasing Big Joe, 1025-1063, the game. Of course, you can weigh in on anything we're talking about. 615-737-1025, our phone and text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHoundy.com. Jonathan Hutton will join us in about 12 minutes or so, getting some football talk in with him. I saw an article on NFL.com, because, you know, it's that time of year. Five biggest threats to break the NFL single-season receiving record in 2024. Can you guess the five receivers that they put?
Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase,
Tyreek
Hill.
You're right on two of them. Tyreek Hill and Justin Jefferson. No, not A.J. Brown.
No Ja'Marr Chase?
No Ja'Marr Chase. There's two that I'm
not Ridley.
No.
Not Hopkins.
No. Nobody from the Titans.
My goodness.
You're missing one.
AFC, NFC.
NFC.
Justin Jefferson.
For the hot, hot, hot team.
Debo?
Nope.
Brandon Ayuk?
Nope. No, the darling of the NFL right now.
Hold on.
With a meathead coach.
St. Brown?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Tyreek Hill, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Justin Jefferson, and you won't get the other two.
Go ahead.
George Pickens.
Where is he now? Steelers?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Amari Cooper.
Browns.
Yeah.
Huh.
In his 10th year.
Yeah. I mean, he's played for what? The Raiders, the Cowboys, the Browns. Is that it?
Raiders, Cowboys. Yeah.
Yeah. He was damn good at Bama, though.
Oh, yeah. He's really good. I liked him with the Cowboys.
That game in 14 at Neyland Stadium versus the Vols on my birthday. He torched him. You couldn't stop him. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, Tyreek Hill probably makes the most sense.
If he doesn't get hurt.
The perennial All-Pro is a cheat code for the Dolphins as an unstoppable force with world-class speed and dynamic running skills. The thing is, though, do you trust Tua?
I don't. I don't think he's good at that. Let me ask you this to a larger degree. If you rush for 2,055 yards this year in 17 games, asterisk?
No.
I think it needs to be. OJ got 2,014 games. I'm sorry, you're 17 games, you got 2,000. It ain't the same. It's not the same.
No, but that's not your fault.
But I think asterisk needs to go up there.
I mean, well, if that makes you feel better, then fine. I mean, I still think it's a pretty great
17
feat.
Games though.
Okay. Well, so are you doing it for
three more games?
Are you doing it for 16 games?
Yeah, I think now you have to.
So Derrick Henry and Chris Johnson get one?
Asterisk. 16 games. I think it needs to be told. Because if somebody, like, if you rush for 2,600 yards and 10 years from now, it's like, God, Chase McKay, 2,600 yards. Oh, wait. He had three more games than OJ had. Oh.
Okay.
Is it, does it not change the narrative and your perspective a tad?
Not really, because I just think the game is different. And I think it's more impressive. Okay, it's very impressive with 14 games. I think it's even more impressive with, you know, 16 or 17 games because of the way offenses are now.
Okay.
Like the fact that Derrick Henry did it, what, 4 years? Has it been about 4 years now?
I think so.
Like, think about, because even then the Titans offense was antiquated. And the fact that he still did it. Like, we'll never see another 2,000-yard rusher.
I agree with you on that. Only thing being, it's now 17 games. So you get the extra
I still game. Don't think – I just don't – I think the running back is being so devalued.
Yep.
And that you have to – now, all-purpose, the all-purpose yards records are going – those are the ones.
Nobody cares about all-purpose.
I know, but I'm just saying those are the ones that are probably going to get more, you know, discussion just because you're going to have – more and more of the Debos and the Christian McCaffreys and those kind of running backs.
Yeah, it's like, hey, man, he's got all these all-purpose yards. 2,000 yards rushing? Yeah, you could rattle off those people.
Sure.
And that's the thing in 09, when Fisher knew the season was going to go anywhere, he fed Chris Johnson that football. Fed him and fed him and fed him and fed him. And then he broke the record and got the 2,000. He probably would have gone over 2,100 had that called back some stupid holding call that wasn't a holding call on Ahmad Hall that brought it back like 80 yards. But I just think, for me, I think asterisk. You know, was there not a talk of an asterisk when baseball went from 154 to 162? And now it seems to places there's an asterisk over Roger Maris hitting 61 home runs in 61 because he had – only 154 games to do that. I think that needs to be told. I think you need to have.
Yeah, but I mean, is that one of those things that you really have to tell, though?
I think so. If like, you're a sports
people,
nerd.
I know, but don't people know that?
Not really. I don't think they, like, yeah, okay. But I think it should be known.
And does it have to be told? Because OJ is the only one to do it in 14, right?
Was there one more? I think so.
Dickerson was 16, I think.
Yeah, Dickerson was 16. I'll have to look it up. But OJ, 2000. And
Barry Sanders was 16. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Make a stand, man.
It doesn't matter to me, to be honest with you.
You're a baseball nerd. You don't have the baseball things like that. Like, you hear, like, Alex Rodriguez has the most playoff hits of all time. Well, because they added an extra series to all that stuff. You got to play in three or four more games. So, I mean, yeah, you got the record, but here's why you got the record. There are right. more games being added. Yeah, you still got to produce. I get all that. But you can't deny the fact that whoever had it before, you know, I don't know, Ken Oberfell had the record, you know, until A-Rod beat him and A-Rod got more games. I think that's got to be a small part of it. All you analytic nerds can weigh in on this, too, as well.
615-737.
Just are you gonna produce or not? That's it.
Call me a nerd, Joe.
Are you an analytic guy?
I mean,
you're a nerd.
I like to look at numbers sometimes.
Well, okay, good. I like stats. I like things. I mean, if a guy's batting 600, he's hot.
So you're a nerd.
No, I'm not to the analytic level that you guys are nerds. Like, well, it's third and four, and there's a 32.8% chance.
If Willie's listening right now, he's ready to fight you.
I don't do the percentages of, like, third and four, you have this percentage. I don't do that.
Right. No, I don't. And, you know, it's like, well, the analytics show, hey, during a game, when you're coaching a football game, you're not calling your analytics coach. It's a gut feeling like, hey, what do you think here? Boom, let's go, let's do it, let's get it done. That's me. You're just taking too much away from that, and it's – the paralysis of analysis that goes on. Just make the call what feels right. Go with it.
We will get Jonathan Hutton's opinion on this.
And I want his opinion on Major League Baseball to Nashville. Because I think that's always a topic you bring up in different perspectives. Because I'm open to different perspectives.
Sure.
I just think it ain't happening for 10 years.
Yeah. 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll talk to Jonathan Hutton coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, 1025, 1063, The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Monday. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier with us. We say hello now to Jonathan Hutton from OutKick, who will be on with us in just a second, I guess is what that means. I don't know if... Oh, okay. I don't know if you were telling me to steal second or what you were telling me. Oh, bunt. Okay. All right. Hi, Joe. How are you?
Do they still bunt today?
Not really.
Not really. Tim Corbin loved a good bunt. Because a pitcher can't make that throw from...
Look, small ball. I love small ball.
You would.
It just never happens anymore.
Because everybody wants the shot, man.
Yeah.
Give me the shot. Give it the shot. Lance, give it the shot. You know what movie that's from, Chase?
No.
Pulp Fiction.
Oh, okay.
With John Travolta.
It's a good movie.
Good movie? How about great fantastic movie? One of the best movies of all time. What you been up to? Have a good weekend?
It was
all right. How was Bonnaroo?
It's great. You know you can watch it on Hulu.
Can you?
Yeah.
Did you guys, you and Ricky went down for the EDM set with the Chainsmokers, right? Did you get on stage again?
Yeah. Well, we talked about that earlier. It was great.
Well, different audience, man.
Oh, okay.
It's an hour and a half later now.
All right. We have Jonathan Hutton with us now on our phone line. Jonathan, what's up?
What is up, gentlemen? Good morning.
Oh, we're just chilling here on this Monday, and we're officially in that there's a break now. The training camp will open at the end of July, so the guys have a little bit of time off, and so it's list season and things like that. But as the Titans now have this break, what in your mind does Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan need to accomplish before their team reports at the end of July?
Well, right now, they're all on vacation, everybody. they're all getting away to enjoy the next couple of weeks because this is the long stretch, especially for the coaching staff and the whole pro personnel department. This is where the long stretch really begins. Players are going to go and enjoy themselves, and they should. This is probably about as good as they're going to feel for the next 8 or 9 months. So all that being said, they're going to go in and add another safety. But keep in mind that Kenny Vaccaro was added on August the 4th of 2018. So it doesn't have to be by the time camp starts. And Kenny Vaccaro was added August 4th, and he started September the 2nd, whenever they kicked off the season. That's the quality of having a veteran. You let the market come to you when you have a couple of safeties out there that Denard Wilson is comfortable with. I think that's more or less the one spot I would point to, because while Elijah Molden is a piece to their defense, he's not experienced enough in my mind to be able to do the things and make sure that you're comfortable doing all the different facets of what they want that player to be able to do, like Vaccaro did. If they find a Kenny Vaccaro, that is perfect for this defense.
By the way, Jonathan, is Vaccaro, has he still caught Lamar Jackson yet, or is he still chasing him?
Yeah, exactly. No, he's still chasing him. But you know what? Yeah, there's a lot of players that are chasing Lamar Jackson, Joe. I wouldn't want to be chasing him either.
Yeah, Vaccaro.
Now they got to deal with Derrick Henry too.
Hey, that's a great point though. They need a play. This is easier said than done. They need to find a Kenny Vaccaro of 2018 and not the one that we ended up seeing that had lost his legs. Okay, like that. There's a difference there,
right.
And he also was playing next to Kevin Byard. I think that's another key. You know, they have to have the secondary play up to the level of expectation that we've kind of built this off season, and I think that's I say we as a media as a public, like they've done a nice job, especially at corner, and now can Amani Hooker step into that next level? Because look, I mean, he Robinson gave him the extension. And then now they've got a situation where we know that they don't value safety as far as the money is concerned as much as on the outside. One could argue that's the right method. One could say, well, look at the way that teams are treating the middle and heart of their defense, including defensive tackle. I'll say there's a lot on Amani Hooker to step in and be the next level of his career this year.
Yeah, I just remember Vaccaro came in running that mouth. Lamar Jackson gets passed. He's like, I'm not going to talk to the media anymore. You guys, I'm like, shut your mouth. And then he got out of town.
What year was that? Was that the first year? That wasn't the first year.
I think it was the COVID year, right? Or maybe the 19 or something.
We became the bad guys.
Yeah. I'm like, just shut your mouth and get out of town.
Yeah, but the COVID year was the year they could talk trash until the playoffs in Cincinnati.
That's when everything really changed. Jonathan Hutton is with us from Outkick. You know, you can probably come up with a couple of different answers to this question, but I feel like there's a player that maybe we're sleeping on and everybody else is sleeping on when it comes to the Titans, and I think it's Tajay Spears because, you know, that he's going into his second year. Tony Pollard comes in. Everybody's talking about him. I feel like this could be a really big year for Spears, and I think he could flourish in this offense. What about you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's got he's the forgotten player. And as crazy as it sounds, so is Tony Pollard. You know, like in all the additions, we've talked a ton about wide receiver, and we should. I mean, this is a head coach and an offense that's going to throw the football. But I think I'm going to focus on Spears here, Chase, because it's a good point. But I think the two running backs in general, this offense to me, I think as we watch improvements, like big improvements, I think the big improvements happen incrementally, early. I think there's a little bit of patience there, especially with just the passing game and the, you know, I mentioned recently that Will Levis is getting his master's degree right now, or a crash course master's degree in a brand new offense, and how quickly can he do that? I know they're going. Over the next couple of weeks, they'll be doing a throwing session somewhere, like a retreat that Will Levis is taking a lot of these guys on. The running backs will be on a trip because they're a part of the passing game. But I think early on, this offense may rely more, not Derrick Henry level, but more on the run game than the passing game to get out of the gates and rolling. And I guess what I mean is
out of the gates and ready to go.
Out of the gates, ready to go. Thank you. Yeah, they've got the right side of the line that they're figuring out. They have a left tackle who is a rookie, and a quarterback that's learning this new offense, and one wide receiver who knows it. Now I'm not worried about Hopkins, but I think you get what I'm saying. Like the run game element of this, I think is. It's not the focal point, but I think early on you could be like, man, I didn't know it was going to be 50-50 run pass. I didn't know it was going to be 60-40, you know, like this game where they ran the ball a lot today. I think we see more of that. And Tony Pollard certainly factors in a lot, but Tajay Spears is the prototype for the type of running back that Sean McVay would want, that that we would see from, let's see, Zach Taylor, that Kyle Shanahan would use. They went out and got a veteran version of him. And in fact, I would say Rand Carthon had likely been zeroed in on Tony Pollard whenever he drafted Spears. So let's keep all of that in mind with the new era offense. I think as far as who fits this offense well, Spears could be among the top players that we're not discussing. And it's a great point, Chase, because, I mean, we've talked a ton about Burks and how if not now, when. Or, hey, right. Levis, he's got all the assets around him. So does Tajay Spears in an offense where he's healthy and he's got a veteran back that has made some money off of being the type of back that Spears is and Tony Pollard.
We're talking to our good friend Jonathan Hutton on the Chase and Big Joe Show. With you till noon today. Jonathan Hutton, let me ask you this. 10 years ago, did you ever think you'd be sitting around watching Tennessee baseball and getting into college baseball like most of us are doing right now?
No, absolutely not. And, you know, look, it doesn't, it's not lost on me kind of the mocking that would happen to Vandy baseball whenever Vandy baseball was all the rage and, you know, it was about football on the radio. Like, so let's, I'll rewind there. I'm still not all in on college baseball. Like there are some great storylines. That finish to the Florida State game was amazing. I rewatched it on Saturday after a round of golf with Dad because I didn't see the finish live. And so we watched it in the rain delay that he's into. It was awesome, dude. Like it was fantastic. They are doing a great job of showing personality. Mm-hmm. The coaches are fantastic with access. And Vitello is perfect for what this new era of latch on and hold on type of mentality we have with what's popular and what's not and what's big and what's growing. I think the other factor is it's either your team or it's likely not at that level yet. So I don't know how many Vandy fans are tuned in, locked into Tennessee baseball just because it's college baseball. But it's much more popular to me in the barroom talk than Major League Baseball is on a just any given day level. And that's a huge, you know, like eyebrow raise to anybody. For me, that's a, you know, I grew up a massive baseball fan.
Right.
And I raise an eyebrow like, or I turn an ear like, what are they talking about? They're talking baseball today? Like over here at the bar?
Right.
I don't hear that anymore. And now I'm hearing that. That's great. And chances are in the off season, Vitello will be the guy talking about it at the bar.
Yeah, you know, you're correct there. But no, let me tell you this, but to a large degree, yeah, Vandy fans are paying attention because when Tennessee went down the other night, Vandy fans were chirping at Tennessee fans. When Tennessee fans won, they went back at Vandy fans, which I just sit and watch on social media and just laugh.
Look,
I love it.
It's great.
Well, that was the same way whenever, you know, Corbin's bringing the championship back
yes.
from Omaha.
Yep.
And the chirping was for Vandy fans. But leading up to that, you know, or had they lost the World Series or something, the Tennessee fans were chirping. Well, you know, same deal.
Here's the thing, though. I love it because Vanderbilt, Tennessee is a rivalry that, you know, I think it matters to one side more than the other because of football and basketball.
Sure.
But in baseball, it's more even. And it's a good rivalry to have because it's in state. They're both in the SEC. So I love it. I love the chirping. I mean, even though it gets a little ridiculous at times.
You know what else? You know, there's like internal chirping between Vitello and Corbin, too.
Of course there is. Of course there is.
So, I mean,
because they're completely different.
Yeah. But you have to have that extra ingredient. And Tony V gives you that, man. He doesn't really care. You know, it's like, look, they're not the same. It's not on the same level. I'm not trying to say Vitello was hated. But he was hated by, let's see, how many fan bases 2 or 3 years ago?
Oh, absolutely. Because you're winning. You're doing things differently. Yes.
I guarantee you he's got like how many selfies with Alabama fans or LSU fans now?
Right.
To me, it's a very similar storyline to Bryson DeChambeau.
That's a good comparison.
Now, DeChambeau was just nerdy and awkward and weird, and he was arrogant. But like Vitello is just kind of – he's kind of just the same dude. He's just he's turned into the guy who wins and backs up his players, and everybody loves that, you know, and I do too. That speech he gave after the Super Regional was fantastic. The key is he won that game. I don't think he can go to the podium and give that same speech, or it wasn't a rant. I don't know how we would describe it. But I don't know, the fact that they won and they had 7 homers and scored 12 and all that, that helps go into that media session and open it that way. And it was perfect.
Yeah.
It was. The way they finished the game against Florida State and then the way they won yesterday, perfect. They're riding the wave. And this is their year. I mean, they've got the momentum. They have the players, the confidence, and they have those special players that are just not going to let you lose, even if you have two strikes and you have two outs in the ninth.
This is what I'll say, like the comparison with Tony Vitello and Tim Corbin, and I have a lot of respect for both of them, but they're different. Tim Corbin's the type, if you see him out and about, you probably see him in a restaurant or something, you walk up, you shake his hand, you say, "Hey, coach, how you doing? Just wanted to say hi, thanks for everything." He'll say, you know, "Hey, I appreciate it," whatever, and then you walk away. If you walk up to Vitello in the same setting, you go, "Hey, you want to do a shot? You like, can I buy you a beer?" Like, it's just – that's kind of the personality that I think he has, and so therefore the response is going to be different. But they're both really, really good, obviously, at what they do. Corbin's got the championships, and who knows? Vitello may have one here in a couple weeks.
Well, I mean, they're both very easy to talk to, like you say. I respect the hell out of Tim Corbin, and I want to learn the game from Tim Corbin. He's the professor.
Right.
When Tony Vitello comes on and he's headed to Omaha, the first question I asked him the other day was, "Will you please rank for us Cabo, Ibiza, and Tulum?" Those are the first three. He went with Ibiza, Cabo, and Tulum, by the way. So, like, that, and then you get into ball, you know? Like, that's kind of how, I mean, this, it's kind of how you recruit now, because you're recruiting either through the portal or you're recruiting to get guys to stay out of the portal. And if you enter the portal, he's not afraid to say, like, "Hey, if you leave early, you're missing out on this," you know? It's just you have to have some swagger, and the brands in baseball are still there, and Tennessee's one of them now because they have the brand at coach.
Yep, 100% agree. Hutt, good to talk to you. Thanks so much as always, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you so much, Chase. Have a good one, Joe.
See you, Bubba.
Jonathan Hutton from OutKick joining us here on the program again. An extra hour today. All week.
Why didn't he ask us about Hardee's, Burger King, and like McDonald's? I mean, that's our level with Vitello.
Yeah, I don't know. Can I complain about something coming up next?
Oh yeah.
Like, I have a pretty big complaint about a food service.
Oh, okay. Yeah, absolutely. I love this.
Are we doing birthdays at 11:45?
Yes, we are.
All right, so we'll do birthdays at 11:45 since we're on until noon today. It's Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game on this Monday. On until noon today. Then it'll be Willie Donick and Jill Jelnick. And then the Force Company, 3 to 6. It's vacation week. Except for us. We're here.
We're always here, man.
That's right.
We're always working.
Here in a few weeks, I will be taking a vacation.
Well, I haven't got it approved yet. We'll see.
I'm the boss and you're not. So there you go. It's approved. Dr. Crane approved it.
Again.
I'm sorry. It's just funny.
We have not approved it. So.
I don't care.
Joe.
I'm here to – I don't know if we have this. I'm here to tell you right now, I don't care.
We don't care. Exactly. Yeah. I do have that now, Chase, by the way. So
thank you.
I will play that eventually through the show.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So next time I want it, it's there?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Like right now.
I'm here to tell you right now, we don't care.
Let me tell you.
Thank you.
That's right. One of the greatest little drops.
All right. Here's my complaint. So – there was a, you know, during COVID it really took off, but you know, we all like to get food delivered sometime, right? You know, do Uber Eats or DoorDash or, you know, Postmates, what have you. And so I did that. I actually did it twice over the weekend. So I have a funny story and then I have a story in which I can complain.
Okay.
The first one was, it was late Friday night and I was hungry. And I'm staying out at the farm, my family farm. And so I'd never done Uber Eats out there before because it's kind of, you know, it's in the woods and everything. And I'm like, I just wonder if this will actually work.
Okay.
Because it's a little confusing when you pull in because you can go one way to the neighbors and one way to my place. And so it's a long driveway and it's night. And so I'm like, I'm just going to experiment. So I put in the instructions of what to do and where to go. And I could like see a car go by and then turn around and I'm like, oh yeah, this is going to end poorly. So I'm trying to contact them and of course they're not answering and everything. They finally figure it out and literally leave my food at the end of the driveway.
Yes. Could they not call you and say?
No, they didn't. Like, I tried to contact them. I'm like, hey, where's my food? And I finally drove up there, and I'm like, oh, there's a bag sitting in the middle of the driveway.
Holy cow.
So that was story number one.
So did you call and complain?
I couldn't. Nobody would answer, so it didn't matter.
Okay, all right.
So then last night, I'm hanging out with my mom. You know, Father's Day, not a great day. You know, my grandfather's been gone 9 years and then lost dad almost 3 years ago. So Father's Day is not a great day. Mm-hmm. And I don't say that for, you know, I don't need anybody to be like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm just, you know, a lot of people
it
go through
it. It is what
that.
It is.
Right. Like, Mother's Day is hard for you.
Very.
You know, so it's like, it's just not a great day. So I hung out with mom and decide to, you know, order something. Didn't feel like getting out in the heat. And it's there in like 15 minutes. I'm like, yeah, let's go. And I walk out and we ordered from Blue Coast Burrito. Mm-hmm. I walk out and there's Wendy sitting on my front porch.
Did you say hi to her?
No. I was like, you know how like when something doesn't look right and you just kind of sit there for a second and you go, wait,
yes,
that's not right. And so there was like Wendy sitting on the front porch and I'm like,
go ahead.
I'm like, this is not what I ordered. So again, they have a feature where you can call the driver. Because like what's happened is the driver probably had multiple orders and gave me somebody else's order. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, they're not answering. Like they're just, I'm like, why have this feature if you're not going to answer?
Correct.
Like make your drivers answer the damn phone. And so I'm pissed. Like I'm very, very angry. And so I go through the whole help thing. I give the guy zero tip. Like, I take the tip away. I'm like, if he's not going to answer, then, you know.
Got him.
And file a complaint. And so so I get the refund and everything. And I'm like, well, I'm still hungry. I still want, like, I was really looking forward to it. So I reorder. Well, then they call and they go, did you not get your order? And I go, no, I got Wendy's. And they laugh. It's not their fault.
Right.
They laugh and they go, okay, well, we'll redo it and get it to you, as you know, soon. And it was quick and it got fixed and everything, but it was just like, why have it where you can contact the driver if they're not going to answer?
Can I ask you a question?
You just did.
Have we learned a lesson from this?
Don't order Uber Eats.
Just have like Pop Tarts around the house. You get hungry, just grab
I don't
a
like Pop Tarts.
We've been over this. Chex Mix, something,
right? But I wanted a full meal.
Then
cook.
Then cook.
Okay.
Then go out someplace. We've learned our lesson on this.
I didn't want to get out. I mean, I admit I was being lazy.
I'll admit this.
I wanted to watch the NASCAR race.
Could you do that job? God bless those who do that job and do it well. I could not do that job. Let me tell you why I couldn't do that job. I'm eating your food.
Right.
You being
the Uber Eats driver. You would totally eat my food.
I'd be fired in a day. I would eat your food. I can't not eat your food.
That happened to me.
Somebody ate your food?
Somebody ate my food. I was at my buddy Landon's house, and we ordered some burgers and found, you know, there was a bite out of my burger, and all my fries were gone. So I was like, oh, somebody here at the party either ate it, or I'm actually missing my burger.
So they had the gall to deliver that, your burger with a bite in it?
It was a small bite. I could tell it was a small bite. Like, somebody was trying to be, like, discreet with it. Like, oh, this looks kind of good. Let me take a little taste. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
And it was like one of those Mr. Beast burgers.
Now, let me ask you this. This is a topic for the next hour, but we'll get into it. If I'm in a restaurant and I'm sitting next to somebody and they have, like, half a pizza and they leave, I'm eating your pizza. I am eating your pizza if I've seen you and you're not just, you know, Sasquatch. I'm eating your pizza.
Would you do that, Chase?
Eat it? No, I wouldn't.
I'm eating your pizza.
And to 0247, as a food delivery driver, customers don't answer their phones either. I answer every time.
Oh, now you're getting blowback. I like this.
I answer every time. So.
Okay.
Then don't offer the feature. If you're not going to answer the phone, then don't put it on there. Just say, hey, we're... You know, and I'm sure Uber Eats is just used to this, that, you know, people screw up the orders all the time and
right. They
just have to refund or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, okay. And it's happening more and more, and so you're right. Like, the lesson is I'm probably not going to use it anymore, and I'm just going to,
right.
You know,
get I gotta
out
tell
and
you,
get something.
When you told me that, it's like, I took his tip away. The just the passion in your voice right there and your body language is like, you got him. You got Dr. Crane, real quick, if I offer you a piece of pizza, you're going to eat it?
Sure, yeah.
So what's the difference? You're gone. You left the restaurant. You're clean. There's a pizza sitting there. I'm eating your pizza.
It's just going to look kind of cold. And like, ah.
No, it's not. What do you mean cold to whom?
Like cold in the room area. Like if you're just sitting there, you're talking, half the pizza's been there for half an hour. I don't want to eat a cold pizza.
Half
like
an hour.
That.
If you sit down and they leave and there's a pizza sitting there, I'm eating your pizza. Go ahead. Know that. You see me in a restaurant, I'm eating your damn pizza.
Okay.
And I don't care what you think.
All right. I feel better. With that, hour number three of the Chase and Big Joe show is next. 102.5, 106.3 The Game.